You may begin it with some stumbling there. There's still some raging storm inside and all that. But notice that the answers never come until everything is calm on the inside. Doesn't matter what the storms without are. Take care of the storms within. The word and prayer. And Jesus, when He came to the cross, He prayed, He cried, He wept. And it's strange the things that takes place only in deep prayer. We reach a point in some things that you pray and you cry until you couldn't cry anymore. You know your soul is fully stretched out. And then there is a heavenly peace that comes. And you know you have rested your case. See, in Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Before Jesus went to the cross, he has already won his prayer on the inside. It had all taken place on the inside. At Gethsemane, he has received his breakthrough. All the rest was acting out what he has already settled on his inside. And it comes to that time of prayer. Far too many people hear the faith message or hear some good things to believe God for and some good promises, and they launch into it without any preparation, without any self-examination. It will be just like going on a long, long journey or shifting house by just going in that very hour, without any preparation, without any sort of looking deep into that situation, and preparing in great details. We need to stretch out ourselves in whatever area. See, a lot of people are not receiving what they prayed for. Because what they prayed for was just something offhand that they hear or something good. They haven't really brought what they heard into the throne of God when they are alone with God in prayer. They hear somebody believe God for a car, so I'm going to believe God. Somebody believe God for this, I'm going to believe God. Somebody believe God for this, I'm going to believe God. They haven't settled it in their own prayer life with God. Whether God wants them to move in the same area, whether God wants them to go into those things. Whereas Jesus settled it on the inside. A lot of people fight their fights outside of the closet. But Jesus fought His fights in the closet. When He was standing before Caiaphas and Ananias and all the other Sanhedrin, everything outside of Him was in turmoil. His disciples were scattered. The Pharisees and all the Sadducees were rejoicing. The enemy was rejoicing. Everything. But on His inside was a calm and a peace that the world couldn't take away, because He had on His inside the victory. When He was sent before Pontius Pilate, Jesus Christ already has it settled on His inside what the outcome of it. Jesus knew before He entered the lion's den how He will come out. For some people, they enter in first and then find out whether they will come out. Too late. And sometimes they pray the wrong prayer. Lord, make it a Christian lion. The lion knelt down, said, "Thank you for this lunch." Because desperate prayers that are prayed in desperate times are many times too late. We end up as a lion's lunch. God wants us to settle it before we enter. Daniel settled the lion issue before he went in. He already knew the outcome. He says, you know, his God will deliver him. And if you examine what Daniel said, it's important to say something, because our words are our deliverance. When they threw Daniel into the lion's den, the king could not do anything to save him. Nothing in the natural seems to help. But in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 16, the king gave the command and they brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. But the king spoke. See, Daniel's faith was so strong that not only he speaks, but he got others to speak in the same way he speaks. When you speak the right things, it gets contagious. And the king himself said, "Your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." And the next morning, verse 21-22, Daniel said, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." There was a spoken word release. The king said, and the king loved Daniel. I mean, Daniel exercised his faith. In fact, whether Daniel goes to be with the Lord or Daniel stays, he's safe. But if Daniel goes, the king is going to be the loser. In fact, the king stands to lose more than Daniel. Daniel was already successful throughout all his career. There's nothing more for him to lose. He would just go home early. But the king, if he loses Daniel, is going to be surrounded by a bunch of evil people that may change the entire outlook of his kingdom. And Daniel was one of his most trustworthy servants. And the king had to exercise faith. And he wanted Daniel to live. And he said, "Oh Daniel, your God whom you serve will deliver you." And the whole night he was fasting, praying. Because faith speaks, and faith must pray and travail until it rests. Many people who speak, when they are not at rest, they still need to get into deep prayer. Get deep in prayer in the Spirit. So chapter 5 is on the power of prayer. And all the details you can find about the power of the kind of prayer that Jesus did. So the first point, faith rests. And the sub point, first reason how he got into rest is the word and prayer. The second reason is found in chapter 6 and chapter 7. And in chapter 6, in verse 19, it says, "This hope we have as an anchor." This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Notice now he's talking about that steadfastness and that anchor that must be there when you are spoken. And which enters the presence behind the veil. When the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And it talks about entering into the presence. The second reason that faith can rest, the first is because of the word and because of prayer. The second is because of the presence, and then because of the person. The presence and the person is in you. The reality, I mean, we all know that Jesus is in our heart, but the reality and the experience of Jesus being in our heart sometimes is not present in people. When faith has spoken, faith needs to rest. And a part of that rest is when we begin to enter so deep into His presence that His presence is tangible. Like an anchor in our soul. There's nothing like the presence of God dwelling in a tangible form on our inside. When someone says, I have faith for this healing, or I have faith for this miracle, I listen for the presence. Sadly, sometimes we hear brash, arrogant, quote-unquote, Christians who claim to have faith, and we cannot discern or hear the presence of God in their life. That's not faith. That's human confidence and mental conviction. Faith carries with it that undeniable presence that was born of God. And that presence can only come when you enter into the Holy of Holies with Jesus. And you know it can be done. And you know it shall be done. Though 10,000 times 10,000 demons come against you, but they never dare to come near, because there is a presence on your life. And not only that, the person is there in chapter 7. First the presence, then the person. No ordinary person. It says here, of the many things spoken about Jesus in the priesthood, it says, let's read from verse 17. He testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope, something better, through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. According to the order of Melchizedek. Now these two phrases are taken from the book of Psalms. Let's turn first of all to Psalms 110 verse 4. Psalms 110 verse 4. And look at the context of what David is talking about. He says here about warfare. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. That sounds familiar. Till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. Now he's talking about the new birth in our life. And that's only the beginning. Because a new birth is us.